one of my favorite Grateful Dead covers that they usually drop down. Well, now it's the Dead and Company, but big fan of the Dancing in the Streets. If you ever hear their live Euro tour.
I never heard them do that. You know, I heard them live and they covered, what's that song with the river? Rolling down the river. Yeah, they covered that one.
Proud Mary. All right.
Yeah.
Nice stuff. Yeah, famous with the Tina Turner. Absolutely. It's the CCR cover. I love the Dead stuff, but we had Emma's friend here, and she was mentioning someone that she knew who was going in on tickets or got tickets for the new Dead regional or residency, I think it's called, over in Vegas. They're playing in the Sphere for this summer.
Oh, yeah.
And we went down the rabbit hole of how much the tickets are. They're astronomical in price. I mean, I think the cheapest you can get is maybe in the somewhere in the $1,500 range per ticket.
No way.
Yes, it's absolutely insane. And the better seats, they're like, you know, $4,500, $5,000.
No way.
It's out of control. It is completely unaffordable. If you're talking just the tickets to go to the show, you're definitely pouring in $2,000 to $3,000 for just the tickets. And then
you gotta
add on the flight. The hotel is not cheap in Vegas, even when you stay in old Vegas. You're putting down a hefty price here.
If you want to go to the first one, which I guess is like next week, actually.
That's right.
There's only two tickets remaining. Both are in suites. One is $35,000.
Yikes. Yeah.
And the other one is $45,000.
I was a little off with my $4,500 then. Okay, so $45,000 per ticket. My mistake. Easy slip of the digit.
Oh, that was for the suites.
Yeah, all right. Well, for the suites.
Okay, so the shittiest seats in the house, you're looking at $600, $700.
I'll tell you what. Even if they resurrected Jerry Garcia from the dead, I wouldn't pay $45,000 to see that show.
No, $45,000? Dude, you could bring back Jerry Garcia and have him give me a blowjob. I'm still not paying $45,000.
Is he in the body of Matt Rife? Is that how that happens?
Well, I figured because he's famous.
$45,000 to go see a cover band of the Grateful Dead starring John Mayer.
And you already know the songs.
You definitely know the songs. You've heard them before.
Oh, yeah, dude. Even if you want to go like a couple weeks out, you're looking at it's a minimum $600. Wow. That's minimum $600.
Well, I tell you, Fish, they come out here to Colorado once a year. It's during Labor Day weekend. It's well known as Fish Dicks because they play at Dick's Sporting Good Park. So it's called Fish Dicks. And
does Kanye show up and get confused?
He does. He's a wordsmith genius. Be careful.
That's a great sell for it.
You can't just buy tickets. You got to get on the lottery, I guess. And the lottery for the single day ticket was $195 per ticket.
Wow.
For the single day. To go to this Sporting Good, the place where they have the soccer games, the MLS games for Colorado, you can go there and hang out for the day for $200 a ticket. It's just the tickets, man. We're not even talking about the parking, which they charge for. And then they also charge you for everything else inside. The beer's not cheap in these environments. So it's
For me, it's like everything, I'm putting it in perspective of like, you know, 20 years ago, you know, like if you were just the bottom of the, you were the bottom of the totem pole, working man, just the laborer, you're getting $100 a day, right?
Oh yeah.
You're getting $100 a day, but you can go to that concert for $25.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And now you're at that bottom barrel laborer. You're only getting $200 a day. And that concert costs $200. So you got to work a whole day just to go to that concert. And that doesn't even include the drinks, the beers, the parking.
Everything, you know? Man. It's a whole costly affair, and it's supposed to be fun. But when you're in the hole, $1,000 to sit in the nosebleed, we're not having that great of a time.
You know what? I'm I'd rather just hang out in Danny Day's apartment, listen to some YouTube clips. You know what I mean? We'll dance in that fucking carpet.
You can just hang out.
Save $1,000.
Well, you know, I prefer to just go to bars or hit the streets and hang out at a local, tavern or brewery. Yeah. We've been down with the breweries lately. I've been noticing a trend in our spots that we prefer. It's joints that have cheap-ish food compared to the other places around town. Typically something that specializes in a sandwich or a burger. And mostly they're a brewery of some sort, but doesn't really put a lot of their energy in bottling and canning and putting it on the market. You just kind of show up and drink some fresh brew.
But dude, what the fuck happened? Like, why can I not go to a brewery?
Yeah, man.
Get my flight of different beers.
Oh yeah.
And get a pepperoni pizza.
Exactly.
No. You can have the flight of beers, but we don't have pizza. We have a flat pizza with pepperoni and aioli sauce. And it's like, dude, what? No, dude, just give me a fucking goddamn pepperoni pizza. Like, I'm not here for good food. Right?
Yeah, and also, you know what I'm seeing? So we go to one place. We like the Denver Beer Company. They've got a joint in Old Town Arvada, and you go in, they have their bartenders there. You sit where you want. You go to the bar to get your beer. And then if you want to get food, they have a food stand within the brewery there. And it's separate from the bar. And you pay the guys in the window to cook you some burgers. Right?
Okay,
and then
they got normal shit, or is this some white, like, rich white people bullshit? Like,
it's called,
we don't have burgers.
No, we do
have this cream-free sliders.
No, like, it's called Mighty Burger. They're well known for being one of the best simple, just straight up burger places. It's a burger little. It's a little.
That's cool.
Burger joint, but what I'm seeing too is this trend where now you're getting the service window. You're getting the walk up. You order. You pay. They buzz you. You come and grab your food. When you're done with your food, you dump it in the trash and stack your stuff on the side there.
Yeah, I can't pay $20 an hour for a waiter to do it.
There you go. There it is. Yes, and that's my point. Gone are the servers, and we're going to start seeing more of this everywhere we go, where you're going to order your food and get it yourself, and then you're going to put your trash away.
Nice.
Yeah,
I
like
wish we would
it.
Go back to like a regular food though.
Oh, now what I'm trying to say is we're going to that also. You're finding now that the cream friche and the glaze and making the marmalade.
Special coleslaw that we put on the side on the slider. Dude, I want a fucking cheeseburger. I don't want three sliders with coleslaw. You know what I mean?
But that's expensive. Bidenomics, is that what they're calling it?
I think it's pronounced Bidenomics.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not really Bidenomics.
You're gonna fall asleep while you're saying it,
you know. Bidenomics doesn't really pay for the cream friche, right? So now everybody's going back to the basics. I've noticed a lot of cheese dip. You want some nacho cheese dip? We got some nacho cheese.
Salty pretzel with some fucking cheese out of a bottle. You know what I mean?
We went and got some food the other night at a local brewery again that makes pizza, Mike. You would actually really like it. And it was normal pizza.
I like it already.
Delicious. And we ordered for the appetizer, we got the salted pretzel, and they made it with some jalapenos baked into the pretzel, which was awesome. Mm. So it was a spicy pretzel with the spicy.
You must have found the only non-gay restaurant in Boulder.
Well, no, I'm not in Boulder anymore, so that's why.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I escaped that area.
Because literally, if you take that restaurant, just open up a non-gay brewery in Chicago, you're a millionaire. You're going to make millions.
Yes, man. That was great. We had spicy beer cheese and, mustard. It was fantastic. It was simple.
Yeah, with the big pretzel.
Oh, man, it was incredible. And you know what? no skimpage on the salt either. That sucker was coated, man.
Yeah, let me worry about my cholesterol and blood pressure. Motherfucker, you put the salt on the chip on the pretzel, okay? I'll worry about my medical conditions.
Oh, well, did we chat about Nick Swardson on the last show? Did I bring that up at all? I can't remember if I did or not. Are you familiar with the Nick Swardson, the comic?
Yeah, from Grandma's Boy. It's from Grandma's Boy. One of the best movies of all time.
Yes, I love Grandma's Boy. The movie's fantastic. Well, he was
in... I am Grandma's Boy, just so you know. I live in my grandma's basement.
He was in Colorado this week for a string of shows all over the state, and for his first set... which was somewhere, I can't remember what town it was in, people recorded on their phones, he was pulled off the stage, they had to cut the lights and cut his microphone and escort him off the stage because he was incoherent and mumbling.
Oh, no.
And apparently claimed that it was because he was in high altitude but also drinking and ate some edibles.
Dude, those edibles creep up on you.
And, you know, I thought it was funny. I caught it on some kind of like TMZ level places in the morning before I went to work. And then by the time my day had concluded, this is like Thursday-ish or so, all the main local news was reporting about it. It was like all over because he had still a string of shows to do all over Denver and in Aspen. And then apparently because of the news of him being too high to even complete his set, all his shows just instantly sold out. It was fantastic publicity for him. And so I assume he had a great weekend and is currently having some good sets throughout the Denver area. We were looking at tickets and they were, in a flash, they were gone. I was interested in maybe checking out the Sunday night. Everything was just disappeared in the blink of an eye. So,
And he's also a pretty funny comic. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he's hilarious. And now you know he's going to talk about it in all his sets. So that's hilarious. That makes it double hilarious. And I've seen quite a few comedy shows out here over the last few years. And the best part about comedy in Denver is these guys come out here with their A stuff about people from Boulder. And they they tear that town and the society that exists in the bubble of Boulder to shreds. Absolute shreds. And for everybody else, you know... we love a good, you know, kind of licking to the Boulder folk, man, because they ruin the state for the rest of us. So.
Yeah, they ruin your reputation. I mean, dude, you're 3/4, but half of that is just because you live close to Boulder, you know?
Yes, that's it's 2/4. It's crazy.
It's 2/4.
The other quarter is my Subaru.
And your tendency to overpronounce French words, you know what I'm saying?
And I know how to speak some French. That's the other.
And I heard he reads books.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's the best part about comedy out here, and I'm sure he, along with making fun of his dabble in the world of edibles, which, you know, in the flooded world of cannabis... legalization, Colorado, I do believe, stands alone as one of the top tier in edibles and rosin and
I think you guys do concentrates. Higher THC. Like in Illinois, you can't have edibles. You can't sell more than 100 milligrams, and they have to be broken up into at least 10 milligram pieces. But I think you guys still do those, like, Stars of Death or whatever, where it's, like, 500 milligrams.
They still got the medical stuff, and we're kind of leaning towards maybe increasing the availability of higher dosage for the recreational. It's just the general quality of the edibles out here are just, you know, far, far superior, I would say, compared to around the country.
Dude, I got to type in. So I finished all the jobs I had on my schedule for the day.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 2:30, and they were like, yeah, you can go home. There's nothing else. Oh, yeah.
Good feeling.
I had some edibles. Yeah. Dude, I popped popped 3 gummies, so it was like 30 milligrams,
Yeah.
Because I'm about to hit like an hour of traffic home.
Oh, man, that would put me to sleep in the middle of traffic.
Oh, no, it's great, dude. I put on a YouTube. I usually watch like Kill Tony or something. Just
okay.
I have this like setup where I just like put it on my dash. So instead of seeing my speedometer, I'm only going 8 miles per hour. so I don't need to see my speedometer. Now I can just watch the YouTube video. But anyways, dude. All
right.
Like 10 minutes into my drive home, they call me and they're like, you know what? An emergency just popped up. You got to go rod this this bathroom sewer, you know?
Ooh.
And I'm like, all right, no problem. I hadn't really kicked in. I thought I'd be cool. But then I get to the job, dude. And, you know, I'm talking to the guy, the engineer of the building. He's showing me what's up. And then I start doing the job and I'm talking to him while I'm doing the job. And at one point, he looks at me and he goes, you really love what you do, huh?
Oh, no.
And then, and then I thought about everything that just took place. And I'm like, no. I wanted to be like, no, I'm just way too high.
Sir, I took 30 milligrams.
And dude, I was like, I'm like in the, I don't know if you know, so nobody knows. But in like all these bathrooms in schools, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have the male bathroom, and then behind it is the female bathroom, but the toilets are, like, back-to-back, you know?
Yeah, and that makes sense.
And there's actually, like, a space in between that walls that is usually, like, less than 2 feet wide, and it's called the chase, and that's where we have to go. Like, I gotta crawl in there, and then that's why you cleared the drain. But I realized at one point I'm, like, listening to my headphones, and I'm, like, singing along. I'm in a chase.
Oh, boy. You're jamming out, man.
I was rocking out, yeah. Robbing the sewer, coming out covered in cobwebs and shit, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, no. Yeah, the job's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you're stoned. You're ripped. You're basically tripping.
The point is, those edibles, I feel you, because they hit you. You know what I mean?
I typically get the indica-leaning edibles. I'm really into the dialed-ins out here in Denver. Good times had by all. Emma and I popped a few on Friday night, and I almost predicted in exact timing when both of us would pass out, then when each of us would wake up and make our way to the bedroom. Man, they're strong. I instantly just, I'm out like a light. No matter how many I eat, one to whatever, I'm just, I'm cruising through for a solid 6 hours.
But you know what the problem is, dude? When you're smoking it, you're feeling it instantly. So you're like, oh, that's too much. All right, I'm done. Right?
Yeah.
But the edibles, you feel fine. And then you're in the middle of a conversation with your boss and you're like, holy shit, I'm stoned.
Yeah, that's why I stopped taking them during the day. It's a nighttime affair for me. When I've like I'm locked in on the couch when I'm popping the Eddies.
Yeah, we're what we, you know, you are what we call a responsible adult. Responsible adults take the edibles at night.
Yeah, but also I've been living in the Colorado for the last decade with the legal weed and the accessibility, and especially when I was working at a bar, you know, you'd get people that are locals and friends and be like, oh, you want to eat this gummy I made? Oh, yeah, definitely. How about a shot of whiskey with that gummy? Yeah, let's do it, buddy. And then, you know, you're floating through the stars.
Dude, I got to tell you, though, if weed was illegal 10 years earlier in Illinois, I would be a mechanical engineer right now. Because I do it on the days I go to school. I ace every test. It's perfect for school. Edibles are perfect for school, you know?
Interesting. Wow. Well, maybe we wouldn't have so many people jacked up on Adderall and all that stuff for the ADHD. Maybe people could have just been taking some weed gummies.
I think so. I never understood that. Maybe I'm opposite of them, but I always needed the weed to, like, slow me down so I could concentrate, you know?
Yeah, definitely. The weed slows everyone down for different reasons.
And then you get, like, over-focused.
You know? Creatively focused, even.
Creatively focused, yeah.
That's why Dr. Frank says, smoke them if you got them. All day, every day.
Dr. Dre said, smoke every day.
Smoke weed every day, man.
I take most of my medical advice from Dr. Dre.
Well, Mike, you are a blue-collar working man, a trade fella. I have a clip that I thought you would really enjoy. It's a man similar to your kind, Mike Rowe, the Dirty Jobs man himself.
Or man after my own heart, you know?
That's right. Well, he was a guest on one of the weirdo whack job shows over there on Fox News, and he got asked about various unionizations going on, like the current one with the football program. There's a college program that is now unionizing their players. These guys are making money now and signing contracts, so it was inevitable. But they kind of segued into more of what he thought about the increase in minimum wages for the fast food industry people in California. And how, at the last minute, the guy who owns all these franchises of Panera had to balk, essentially, and say, yes, I'm going to pay you guys $20.
I can't believe they even did that. They're just rubbing it in your face at this point.
It's
and you
gross.
Fucking people keep voting for these Democrats.
That's right, man. All right, so I love a good Mike Rowe. He speaks the truth in the language of the common everyday man. So here's a quick one. So maybe not a bathroom break time, Mike, just in case look out for you there. But we got Mike Rowe here.
You make one mistake. Yeah.
He's going to give us the lowdown on the minimum wage shakedown over there in California.
Well, I think the market's a powerful thing. And if you're suddenly the only guy who isn't paying $20 an hour and you're looking at a finite pool of people who want to work in the fast food industry, well, who's going to apply for a job with you, right? So they probably kind of had to do it. I thought it was a bad look for the governor. Mm. I think it's a bad look for Panera. But mostly, again, I'll come back to unintended consequences. Unions are fraught with them. Minimum wage is fraught with it. Rent control. There's always a price to pay for doing a short-term thing that looks and feels good to do and say. And so I'll tell you what's going to happen here in California. It's the same thing that's happened in every other state. Kiosks are going to replace low-wage workers. AI is going to have a voice in this. And a quarter pounder with cheese is going to be a heck of a lot more expensive.
Yes.
This is a lesson that we seem determined to learn over and right. over and over again.
Round and round and round. Round. Round.
They go round and round. Round and round. Yeah, ask the Pizza Hut delivery drivers who are now unemployed.
I've been telling that story to people lately, and I would say a while back, maybe it could have been a shrug of the shoulders or a dismissal. Now it's a laughter, and yeah, how did they not see that coming? Which is,
yes.
We played a clip of a guy who was a delivery driver for Pizza Hut in California who was very excited about his raise increase to $20 an hour. And then at the end of the clip, they asked him what he felt about how he was getting fired now because they fired everybody who was a delivery driver. And he said, well, it wasn't that great of a feeling.
And, and look at Mike Rowe. He was an opera singer who just had this show about doing jobs that, you know, blue-collar jobs. And he's not an economist. He's not a quote-unquote expert. But you ask him, and he's just like, well, yeah, they're just going to bring in kiosks. Yeah, I don't need to be smart to know they're going to bring in kiosks when you're asking them to pay $20 an hour to the fucking cashier.
Exactly. You know? That's all I've been saying for a while now, especially here in Colorado. We raised our minimum wage in Denver to $18.26 an hour, which is insane. So prepare yourselves in Denver for kiosks. There's not going to be any jobs for anyone. And I can't stress enough, the self-service windows, the go get your own burger and then throw out your trash because we've gotten rid of servers. Because we're not going to pay people $20 an hour plus tip.
Did I ever tell you, me and Uncle God were just laughing about it today. We used to every year go to the landscaping show, right?
Oh, yeah.
And for those that don't know, it's like the car show, you know?
That's right, man.
All these manufacturers who make landscaping equipment, they show up with the the new and improved models, and you get to test some shit out. And every year there's like this whole section of like new innovative tools, you know. Long story short, we go to this one booth where this guy is trying to sell this machine that can pick up paver blocks.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, man.
It's like the machine that makes it really easy. All you, you know, one guy can do a whole thing, right? And I'll never forget, like, we watched the whole presentation. And at the end, the guy goes, and this whole system, it only costs $15,000. And me and Oka got both looked at each other and laughed because we both had the same thought is, I could hire 3 Mexicans to do that for cheap. You know what I'm saying?
That's right, man. Yeah.
I could go to Home Depot, pick up 3 guys, and they're way cheaper than $15,000. And we always talked about how, you know, they'll never be able to have something like that until the laborers become more expensive than the machine. Once you become more expensive than the machine, I'm going to buy the machine.
Yes.
It's economic. It's business 101.
That's right.
Right? If you're more expensive than the machine, this machine never calls out sick. You know?
That's why
it never has a hangover. Its girlfriend never breaks up with it. Its mom never needs a ride to the hospital. This machine will just do the job.
So. And, you know, you'll be kept if you're a skilled employee, like a cook, for instance, right? They'll raise the wages for the cooks, and the cooks will cook, but then it'll be a self-service window where they ring the bell or yes. buzz your buzzer thing, and you come and pick it up, and that's that. We've eliminated all the people in the middle who are costing us $18 to $20 an hour.
But then even the cook, it's going to be one of these, you're here, you cook 6 to 8 hours, you're out. You're not even getting the overtime to clean or anything because we're going to contract that out to a cleaning company. You know what I mean?
Like, I'll
you
be
get
honest.
To the point where you're...
I worked for many years as a cook in a bar, and actually for several different bars that I worked in, most of the cleaning was contracted already to somebody else, and you would just kind of clean your station, put the tools away, sanitize, wrap the meat, and then the floors and everything was left to the overnight crew.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. We're already there. You're already there where you're cutting pennies. You know what I mean? Because that contract for that cleaning crew was how much cheaper than just having you staying clean, you know?
Well, yeah, especially where I was working there in Boulder. I mean, you're talking about at the time, too, these cooks, we were being paid way better than any other cooking job in town and in other places in Colorado. And Boulder and Denver still continues to lead the pack nationwide with bloated minimum wages for their staffs. And it's going to just lead to eliminating these middle players who aren't skilled. I think it will always come down to who's skilled and who can we keep and who can we cut.
Because it's not a matter... This is what I'm trying to get. It's not a matter. It's not the fact that we don't have the machine that can do your job. It's just that you're cheaper than the machine. We already have the machine that can do it. Right?
Yeah.
It's already there. The technology, it's not like if even a cook flipping burgers, they already have the robot that can do it. So, you know.
Well, no, I'm a firm believer in the and folks, I want to pre-remind 3/4 here. I believe in the art of cooking. The culinary aspect of meal preparation. I do believe there is a soul and some element of artistic integrity.
Yeah, but not if you're a bar, dude. If you're trying to run a bar, you're definitely going to be willing to buy a robot that can cook a burger. Not only that, it's like that burger's cooked to perfection.
All right, I could see it maybe in a bar setting, yeah, right? For the drunks who
it's
just
like I go to
get...
bars that warm up frozen pizzas. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but those are the best pizzas you ever had in your life.
The best. I'd pay $200 for that Jack's pizza. You know what I'm saying?
And it doesn't taste the same at home. Same pizza, right? But you cook it at home,
it doesn't
taste the same.
I even stopped washing my oven. I thought that was the difference. But no, it's something about, you know...
Oh, man, when you're drunk at the bar and they bust out that frozen pizza, it's a whole different level, even though it's the same. It's the truth with all food, though. I worked at a place where my shift would end and I'd be hanging out having my free brew, and the cook after me, who was the head guy, he would come out and with this platter of the leftover burger meat that was going to go bad soon, you know, the patties. So he would toss them onto the grill and hit it with some classic old, like, El Paso taco seasoning. And
probably some Texas Pete.
He would pull some just old stale taco corn shells that hung out in the back there forever, and he would load them up with some diced ends of the tomatoes that we used for the burgers. You know, everything was ends and old stuff, and he would just come out with this platter of these classic tacos, you know, with the cheese on them, and, yeah. and all the old dudes and the dudes like me off from our shift would just destroy this platter of tacos, man, even though we knew it was all the crap. It was all old and stale, but I got to say, every time, I could never recreate the incredible flavor of these shitty tacos. I mean, they were the best tacos you would ever eat, and there's just something about somebody else making you food. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, there is something, you know, and I think it's in the cooking, too. Like, if you're cooking for somebody else, you're going to do a better job.
Yeah, man, and if you know the people, you're right. You're going to put a little... dare I say, a little love in there. And this is why I think there's guys out there like Salt Bae who can get away with charging six figures for one of his steak meals.
Fuck that guy. Nope. Put your goddamn salt down your hairy ass arm out of my steak. I gotta pay $1,200 for your fucking arm hair steak.
Where are my Salt Bae fans at, man? Come on.
Get the fuck out of here, dude. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, man. Well, we're living in tough times, Mike, and... we've known this for a while. We've been through it for a decade or so, but those younger than us, the Gen Zers out there, they're realizing there really isn't a lot of opportunity in the world of social media influencer and YouTube, you know, podcast star.
I love
star.
These videos where it's like a girl crying and she's like, I gotta work 40 hours a week. And I can barely afford a one-bedroom apartment? Like, yeah. Yeah.
Devastating seeing the amount of taxes that get ripped out of their paycheck each pay period.
Oh, it's
period.
So fucking... dude, the
soul-sucking.
The complaint about the taxes, that's the best.
It is because...
dude, nothing... you makes a Republican more than taxes.
Yeah, it's called the red pill. When you're like, wait a minute, why are we doing these fucking taxes, man? Let's get rid of these
things.
Is
that a 17 with three zeros? And that went to the government? Nope. Where's Trump?
That's when you stop caring about helping anybody that you don't know. You know what I'm saying? You're
no,
like, you
I don't
know
care if you're poor. I don't care if the climate's changing. I don't care if the sky turns purple. I am voting Republican.
Are you taking 20% of my paycheck to help people I've never heard of? Get out of here. Give me my money back, man.
This is the worst part. If I was paying 20% of my paycheck and then I look around and my streets are clean, there's no homeless.
Different mentality. Yes, I have no problem, actually. If there's no tent cities and there's no trash on the highway.
If you could add one fucking lane to the goddamn Kennedy. We have had the same amount of lanes for 40 years. We doubled in population. There's no reason the Kennedy for 40 years should average 18 miles per hour. It's a goddamn interstate highway. We spend $140 million so that you guys could resurface it.
That's right.
Okay. Take my taxes, expand the fucking highway.
I know.
I'll be okay with it. But you send $100 billion to Ukraine. I don't even need $100 billion. $1 billion, I could expand the highway.
No, it's got to go to Ukraine. We got to give 10% to the big guy. 10% of $1 billion, that's a lot of percent, man.
I mean, just that 10% could have paid for it expanding the Kennedy.
I think we could have at least filled this one pothole that's been gaping wide on I-25 southbound here in Denver for 4 years. Same pothole, no
don't
filling.
Don't even tell me about potholes, dude. We got our potholes become tourist attractions. Could we not fill in the rat hole?
The rat hole. Well, here on I-25 southbound, there's been a new lane created just from the groove of people avoiding the pothole. It goes through the shoulder. It's beautiful. The synchronicity with which people just naturally avoid this thing.
Dude, I do love Chicago. They spent 20 years and $900 billion, I'm assuming, on the Jane Byrne interchange.
That's right, man.
And part of it, they like made this like lane that merges in. And then it's like it's like 200 feet of a shoulder before another lane merges in. And every Chicagoan just decided, fuck that. This is a new lane.
Yes, I love it.
Everybody just rides that shoulder, dude. The paint is already gone. Like, it's a lane. It became a lane.
Well, we are a democracy, and in that kind of scenario, I believe the people have spoken.
The people have spoken. Yeah, good call. Good call. Who am I to go against the people?
The people.
That's right. Where's my Bill Maher at? So I got a clip on Gen Z complaining. Not complaining, actually. They're realizing there's other avenues where they could start making money. And I thought you would enjoy this one, Mike.
Job cuts, no matter the industry, can be found all over the headlines. So, to avoid being just another one of the more than 160,000 layoffs this year alone, Gen Z and millennials found a little hack, calling it quits on the private sector and going public. Many looking to lock down government jobs for security.
Public service was something I always wanted to do, besides the benefits, but also one of the reasons.
God, does it have to be a gay dude? I mean,
Mike, I knew you were going
to... Do we have to have gay voice and all? Like, notice every... All right.
Yeah, but we're talking Gen Z. Do you remember the statistic about Gen Z? They are 40% LGBT sandwich curious community.
So it would be statistically statistically impossible to find a non-gay voice, is what you're saying.
I don't think there is any more masculinity after this generation.
They have no more. It's the fluoride. No more testosterone.
You're right. It's the fluoride in the water. It's whatever they're spraying in the chemtrails in the air. They've just eliminated men.
Just listen to Cat Williams.
Yes. I wish I could. He just puts me right to sleep, man.
I know, man. Talk a little faster.
Too much weed.
A little pep in that.
I love weed, but that's too much weed, man.
More sativa, my man.
Yes, that's right, dude.
As you were not going to get laid off versus private sector.
77% of the class of 2024 say they're more likely to apply to a job that promises stability. And that's what a government job offers.
We have to have a government.
Wait. You're not looking for the... I'm not looking for the job that has the beanbag chairs in the rec center.
What happened to work from home, remote working? You know, you check into the office once a week if you feel like it.
You don't remember the Google campus where y'all had those like moped things or whatever they were, the Segways?
That's right. I used to do deliveries to, and this is just food delivery actually, to the headquarters for the company that spearheaded the Burger King. King, remember the King guy in the costume?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were the ones who did it. They got tons of money for it because they were, they spearheaded it or whatever that means. And their office, though, was spectacular. They had, like, an espresso bar and beanbag chairs and people rolling around on electric scooters and high-fiving each other and wearing pajamas. That was the office.
Oh, yeah, bring your dog to work and come when you want. Work the schedule you want. Fine. Find the true you.
Those days are long gone. We've had tens of thousands of layoffs throughout the tech sector over the last year and a half.
Yeah, did you see all the layoffs? They said all the like hybrid jobs are gone. Nobody's paying you six figures to stay at home 4 days a week, you know?
Right, and everyone has slimmed down and chosen the individuals who are willing to pick up the extra slack. Emma works for a company that's national, but also based out here in Colorado. And here at the Colorado offices, they're slimming and trimming, man. And those who are left behind, they're getting a little pay bump for sure, but they're going to have to pick up the slack when it comes to the work. So it's no more getting more money and raises for no reason. You got to work harder.
Yeah, I don't know where this idea came from that, like, a six-figure job should be easy. You're getting six figures. You should have to fucking work, you know? If it's not physical, you should be working that brain, you know?
I don't know, man. It just seems like we were rewarding laziness for a long time, and maybe now, because we're charging so much for labor, you're going to have to prove that you're worth the charge.
Thank you.
And that's why they're going for government jobs. Actually, that's one of the scariest things is Joe Biden keeps bragging about all the jobs they created. A lot of it was in the public sector. And the one thing you don't want in a free country is the government to be the largest employer.
And that's what this, the whole reason this piqued my interest. Why is that? What does this signify when we're all working for the government?
It's communism.
Yes, exactly.
Am I stupid or no?
I thought that's what it meant too. I just wanted to hear somebody else a little bit smarter than my pea brain to say it out loud because it, to me, this I'm combining two things in my mind right now. We are simultaneously convincing our youth to just work for the government, so depend on the government for your paycheck. And then yes. Also, we're going to liquefy the U.S. dollar and everybody's going to go onto these digital currencies that we want everyone to subscribe to. And then on top of it all, welcome to your new security state if you live in New York City. And this what you see in the subways.
Not,
with the
not only
Guard.
That, the complete takeover of private sectors. There's a great part in the interview between Tucker Carlson and Lex Fridman.
Oh yeah,
where they get in. Lex kind of pushes back on Tucker Carlson when he did that whole video of him in the supermarket and everything.
That's right.
And one of the things Lex Fridman was talking about is how we do have a capital. We are very capitalist, and all this. And Tucker Carlson, dude, Lex Fridman's a very smart guy. So for Tucker to be able to just kind of shut him down, all he had to bring up was electric cars. He said, if you look at the electric car industry, nobody asked for it. There's not one, there's nobody out there is begging for an electric car that can't find an electric car, right?
That's
there's
right.
Way more electric cars than there is demand for electric cars. But the government is forcing these private companies to produce electric cars. That is communism. That is socialism. That is a complete takeover by the government when you're controlling the economy. You're forcing the industries,
forcing interest that isn't there. And
it's not there.
It's also with the stoves. They don't want us to use the gas stoves. We've got to use the electric stoves. We've got to drive the electric car.
Well, he had a great point with the electric car, which was not like nothing else, because the electric car, they spent all these years giving incentives. They kept trying to incentivize people, and still nobody took it. They were giving tax breaks to the point where the car is almost free. You know what I mean? And we're going to help you with this and that. All these incentives, still nobody wanted it. So now they're passing laws forcing these companies by 2030 to be electric.
It reminds
nobody
me.
Wants it.
It reminds me of something. It's a little carrot and stick action, kind of like at first, hey, come and get the shot. We'll give you the cheeseburger and the lotto ticket. Come on, fella. You want the cheeseburger and the lotto ticket? Just take this experimental gene therapy. Get your cheeseburger and lotto ticket. Oh, what's that? You're not interested in the cheeseburger and lotto ticket? Well, now we're going to do a vaccine mandate. And if you want to keep your job or send your kid to school, you got to take our experimental gene therapy.
That's what it is. Carrot and the stick.
Carrot and the stick. You don't like the electric car? You don't want us to have the ability to shut down your vehicle whenever we please and keep you locked in your home? Well, now you have to have it.
We tried to give you the incentives. You didn't take it. Now we got to force you. It's actually your fault, Frank.
I didn't get the electric car because I never saw Bill de Blasio offering me a cheeseburger and stuffing his fat face on national television. That was the only reason. If he had offered me a lotto ticket and a cheeseburger, maybe I would have bought my Tesla. No lotto ticket, man. Come on. No cheeseburger. All right. No deal.
I need some old, out of touch white man chewing a burger on TV to tell me. Yeah, so gross.
To me, and I live in Colorado, but to me, the pandemic is summarized in my mind with the moment Bill de Blasio stuffed his fat face with that disgusting cheeseburger and said, "You could be me if you just get your vaccine." That should disgust everyone to their core. Oh, man, that was the moment we were taken over by our communist overlords. good. I'm glad
I got it.
I got vaccinated. You're saying I could get this?
God,
delicious fries?
You can hear him chewing, man.
My mask.
Oh.
But there's also a a burger element to this?
There's also a burger element.
Let me check with Bill Neidhart. Is it too early in the day to eat a burger? No. This could be breakfast? Okay.
Not for a fat, disgusting pig like
yourself,
Bill.
I want you to look
Bill.
At this and think about, again, some people love hamburgers, some don't. Really want to respect all ways of life. But if this is appealing to you, just think of this when you think of vaccination.
He's pointing to a cheeseburger.
Mmm. Vaccination.
Oh.
I'm getting a very good feeling about vaccination right this moment.
Dude, I had to play it because isn't it grosser than you remember?
Yes. Oh, he's eating it and talking about being vaccinated. Shame on you.
When you see this cheeseburger, think about vaccination. Like, dude, it's so gross. And then, especially looking at it 3 years later, where you realize those vaccines are giving people heart attacks.
That's right, man. Yeah, your heart would be better off if you lived on a diet of those cheeseburgers and avoided the shot. Speaking of which, though, did you know about this fella? He used to be popular on the daytime shows. It happened about a week ago. Dan Gorske, G-O-R-S-K-E, mm-hmm. Gorske. He's,
I went to school with an Adam Gorske. All right, well, great guy. He's a great guy.
Dan Gorske is world famous and in the Guinness Book of World Records for consuming 34,000 Big Macs in his lifetime.
Oh, the Big Mac guy.
Yes, he's the Big Mac dude. He's still alive. He's thin, which is crazy.
No,
and
still alive?
He used to eat something like 3 to 4 Big Macs a day. And then I read the article this week. He's trimmed it down a bit because he's in his twilight years there. He's rocking just one for breakfast and one for dinner, I think, when it comes to the Big Mac. He skips lunch, keeps it light. He's doing the intermittent fasting with the Big Macs, you know?
Dude, for 50 years, he's been eating them. Wow.
Yes.
32,000.
So I don't think it's fair to make fun of Trump for being a huge fan of the McDonald's. There's something sort of preservation happening when you consume the Mickey D's for a lifetime.
Dude, and look at his hair.
That's what I'm
God,
saying.
I gotta start eating more McDonald's.
What's going on here? And Trump, too? I mean, these guys are lifelong, avid McDonald's consumers. Maybe there's something there to the longevity.
Man, yeah, I gotta start eating more Big Macs. I gotta get some hair.
Yeah, increase your Big Mac consumption, folks. I think that's the key. To the long life lived.
I'm no doctor, but more Big Macs, less vaccines. You're going to be good.
That's right.
Listen, I'm not a fool. I don't know how much I trust McDonald's, but I trust them more than Anthony Fauci, you know?
Oh, man. That's so funny. I've been ripping on that video of Bill de Blasio chomping down on that cheeseburger as he tells you to get vaxxed. It is so much more disgusting than I even remembered.
I saw it again the other day, and I knew I had to play it for you because it's like you think it's disgusting, but they crossed a line during COVID.
You know? And again, I always really focus in on the messaging and what they believe you're attracted to. This is how little they think of us, right? Like, yes. What are these stupid idiots of, these slaves of ours, what do they want? They want the cheeseburger and the lotto ticket. And, the other one was the glazed donut, right?
The Krispy Kreme.
Get your shot, you get your free Krispy Kreme. That's what these plebs and these serfs, that's what they all need and want and desire in life. They want the free money and the lotto ticket. That juicy, gross, greasy cheeseburger and that glazed donut for breakfast.
Oh, that's what's so disgusting about it. This was a press conference that they clearly planned for. They had the burger and everything ready.
I know. Is it too early to eat this disgusting cheeseburger? I'm going to stuff my face anyways.
Listen, the party who's always complaining about rich white men. There was a group of rich white men getting together, and they're like, what do the people want? And this is what they came up with. We want cheeseburgers. We're fat, fucking lazy, dumb, just cattle, you know?
Oh, man, that's good stuff. I thoroughly enjoy hearing that. We are in March. The middle of March is upon us this week. this is the anniversary of the lockdown that was heard around the world.
2 weeks?
2 weeks? 2 weeks? Well, hold on, I got it. 2 weeks? 2 weeks? 2 weeks?
Best scene in Total Recall.
Well, best scene in our lives, right? That literally went 2 weeks, froze in time for 2 years.
Yeah. And then it went to mandates. Wow.
I've been kind of floating out there the whole, hey, you know, it's March 2024. The lockdowns were 4 years ago. You guys remember when they locked us down and then said you can only join society if you take this poison we invented at warp speed?
COVID's the only thing older than January 6th. Jesus Christ.
Think of all the villains we created out of Jan 6th, yet we've blamed no one for COVID.
Oh, God, dude. 700 in jail for Jan 6th. Not one Fauci in jail for COVID.
Not one person's in jail for COVID, man. Nothing.
Oh, wow. Not even one of those Chinese people or nothing. Well, that one chick died. They killed her.
Can we even get like a committee? One season. I'm not even asking for the 2-season, 18-episode Jan 6 committee that we got from Liz Cheney. Let's just get 1 season, 4 episodes, just a quick burner, something on HBO Max where we just cover what happened with the scamdemic.
I don't even need Adam Kissinger to cry every week. Just 1 week. Can we just get 1 week of Adam Kissinger crying for COVID?
I just saw something on the board here from the dude, Sean. Flatten the curve.
Did you see that?
I just got chills, baby. Oh,
I haven't heard
yeah.
that in forever.
Flatten man. The curve. We just need 2 weeks.
Just two weeks to flatten the curve.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, baby. Yeah. That was the phrase of the year, man. Flatten.
It really was. And then curve. It was our fault it didn't flatten.
That's right.
Remember?
Yeah, we were super spreaders.
Super spreader events. Like getting right. together with your family.
Yeah, here in Denver, they protested the lockdowns. It was the MAGA crowd. So all the nurses banded together and, you know, put up their fists in the air and stopped them in the downtown Denver region. That was a super spreader event. But then we burned down half of Denver for George Floyd. Summer of love. It was the summer of love.
Yeah, but those were peaceful fires. Those buildings peacefully came down, Frank. You know? We peacefully beat up the cops. Different. Totally different.
It's crazy we had anything going on here in Denver. Quite a bit of ways from the whole George Floyd situation going on in the Missouri. Where was that, St. Louis? When and where was the George Floyd thing? That was summer, right?
Minneapolis.
And was that June? Early?
I don't remember, but it was in Minnesota.
The time frames are just so bizarre when you think about it. Like, allegedly, we were in the throes of a world-shattering pandemic, but like 2 months into it, we could all remove the masks and burn down the city because of George Floyd.
That is crazy. So we went lockdown in March of 2020.
That's right.
George Floyd was killed in May 25th, 2020.
2 months?
In Minneapolis,
2 months
Minnesota.
Later? This guy, oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow, this is, now I'm remembering why I was so infuriated that they allowed this to go on, but we couldn't, like, go to the bar and grab a beer.
No, because that was at a time where, like, even Florida was still locked down. Like, everybody was still locked down.
Craziness. Wow. And then, sure enough, we had to prepare ourselves for an election just a few months later, so we had to change all the rules and make sure we could flood the ballot boxes so that way our guy gets in.
Yeah. Oh, God, George Floyd, so ugly.
How were we not suspicious as a population? Like, it's 2020, it's March, we're very close to an election, and the other side really hates this guy. Maybe these lockdowns are on purpose.
I know, yeah, maybe this is political.
It seems like...
I keep saying the coronavirus was the most political virus I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Still to this day, it only affects Democrats. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, right on the money. Only Democrats are testing for COVID, and only Democrats are calling out of work because they have COVID.
But you don't hear about, like, Republican areas, people are dying in mass because of COVID, and none of them are testing. You know what I mean? None of them care. Oh, wow. I can't believe I almost forgot to bring this up. Dude, I went to a school the other day. And the engineers are like the plumbers. They're Trump supporters. You know what I mean? They're not falling for this shit.
All right.
And so it's always funny because, like, they don't give a fuck. But I went to the school and the engineer was wearing a mask.
Ooh.
And he gave me a mask.
Oh.
And I go, I literally go, nah, I'm not worried about COVID. And he goes, no, we have far worse than COVID. I was like, what?
Whoa. What so does this guy
fucking,
know? Is he CIA?
I put the fucking mask on. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah. What's going on, man? What does he know?
I put the fucking mask on. They're dealing with measles?
That's right.
Fuck. What was that like? There's like this weird name.
They
it's
got
like,
the
it's got a chick.
Oh, no RSV?
It's got like a chick's name in it. Ooh. It's like, I forgot the name of the virus, but it's like this it's like this disease from like medieval times that you'd never even think would like still be around.
Scarlet fever. Wow.
You nailed it. How'd you know that shit? Dude.
I don't know. That was, where
he, that was why he was like, you want to wear this mask. It's because with this school, they're bringing the immigrant kids from the camps.
And I believe Laura Logan's been kind of doing some on-the-boots reporting down in the Central America region, claiming that there are these, like, flesh-eating viruses and all these weird diseases that are being purposefully allowed to pour in through the southern border because they need a new COVID, man.
I don't know if they're doing it on purpose. I think it's more of a... You know, Theo Vaughn did a podcast with a Border Patrol guy.
All right.
It's really informative. It's like, no, they just... They don't have the resources, and they're just not equipped to test people. Our Border Patrol is designed to stop people at the border, not bring them in, you know, detox them, debug right. them, and then release them into the country. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what they're equipped to do.
It's not Ellis Island. It's right. It's a border where they want to stop you from entering.
Their job is to, we gave them guns, not needles, you know, because they're here to stop you, not vaccinate you and debug you.
All right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so we're just letting these kids into the schools. And now all these diseases that we had eradicated from our country, because when you, you know, immigrate legally, we check you for the stuff and stop it from spreading and entering. Now it's just pouring in.
And it was to a point where, dude, when I was there, it was so hard to get into the school. Because they weren't letting people in from a certain one of the warehouses where they're holding them all.
Wow.
Because it was such a bad. The guy even said, he's like, everybody here has lice.
Oh my
teachers,
God.
Teachers, kids, like, we can't stop the lice.
No, this is this is bad. We're turning into a third world country. Does anyone see this?
That's my whole point. You know what I mean? You'll never bring the world up to American standards. You can only bring Americans down to the world standards. Does that mean, you know what I mean?
That's equity. Yeah. Equity. That's right, dude.
Like, dude, we're literally becoming... It's so insane. You know me. I'm not going to wear a mask. I was wearing a fucking mask.
Wow.
I was like, holy shit. The things they were talking about, unbelievable.
See what it takes, though? A little bit of fear, and you put the muzzle on. Oh, yeah.
Even I did it. Oh, I fell for the trap.
That's how they get you, and they'll get us all. I firmly believe that the COVID was a beta test. They needed to dip the toe in the water and see how easily it is to manipulate us, control us, get us to muzzle up and lock down, and they figured it wasn't that hard. We don't even need to have bodies in the streets. We could just claim there are and create an invisible virus that no one sees, say you're asymptomatic and you're going to kill grandma, and look what we did. Just from that information alone, look what occurred for 3 years.
Bring on the scarlet fever.
Scarlet fever, baby! Yeah!
Dude, when that guy said scarlet fever, I'm like, I swear to God, I was like, dude, I read about that like in a book. Like, what do you
well,
mean?
Yeah, you hear scarlet fever, like, I can't even spell that. That sounds like it's from King Arthur times. I better mask up, man.
Do I need to pull a sword out of a stone to fight it? Like, what's going on here?
Somebody call Merlin. We need a wizard up in here. Merlin. Yeah.
If you can't take him, just grab his potions. We need something, you know?
Can we get the Black Society of African Magicians? Or wait, what was the name of the movie?
The Magic Negroes. Come on.
The American Society of Magic Negroes. Folks, check it out. It's an actual movie. It's coming to a theater near you.
That's insane. Yeah, we ruined our country.
Well, all right. I'm a half glass full kind of guy. I think it'll turn around at some point. We'll just wipe out everybody with some scarlet fever, and then we'll rebound it, you know, in the future.
Like, I'm not saying don't let anybody in the border, but can we stop the people with scarlet fever? Can we stop anybody with like an 18th century disease?
Yeah, let's test for the medieval diseases, and we'll start there. Maybe we'll get to a point where we can catch people with AIDS. Does that work? Start medieval, we'll work our way to AIDS.
Am I asking for too much? Stop the medieval diseases? Can we stop that? Yeah, it's so insane. And can we de-louse these people? Jesus Christ.
I know. It's crazy that even just the basic standards of immigration from the 19th century are gone now. We're just... they're pouring in, and they got every disease you can imagine, and we have no way to screen, test, stop, or prepare. Dude,
I mean, you're coming in with scarlet fever. You got lice. You got... you're an animal, right? That's like a wild animal coming into your home.
Yeah, it's a tough journey, I imagine, through the southern border, so I could see how a lot of those ailments would afflict people. It takes a lot of time to get through there. And speaking of time, Mike, there is no doubt about it. It's the fastest hour in the universe. Unbelievable. We covered quite a bit. I'm proud of us.
Me too.
I hope everybody has a fantastic rest of your weekend there. Enjoy the fresh air if it's beautiful where you are. Happy daylight savings time. I didn't even get to talk about it. Still the number one disappointment of the Biden administration.
I literally said that to Dad today. Yes. I said that at the breakfast table today. I was like, that is my number one gripe with Biden and his administration. They couldn't even get rid of daylight savings.
They promised the end of the savings, and here we are, saving some more, or whatever. I think we're spending time. But either way, happy Sunday.
The problem is they're not really in charge. And that is why I always do the exit song to the people who are truly in charge, the ones that I love the most.
To our overlords.
CCP.
We so sorry.
We love you, President Xi.
Chinese are overlord. We so sorry. Please sponsor Dude Amanda Podcast.
We can be bought in yen, just so you know.
Yen, gold, and a Bitcoin, yes!